Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King, one should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions, as well as others instructions given in the Vedic literature, just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Please repeat, O King. One should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions, as well as others instructions given in the Vedic literature, just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Purport. The ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, Krishna. Therefore, either by Vedic regulative principles or by materialistic activities, if one tries to reach the destination of Krishna, that is the perfection of life. Krishna should be the target. Everyone should try to reach Krishna from any position of life. Krishna accepts service from anyone. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi partha vyavyas pishritya yepi su papayonayaha sriyo vaishas tata sudras tepi yanti pradam gatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishas, merchants, as well as sudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. It does not matter what one's position is. If one aims at reaching Krishna by performing his occupational duty under the direction of the spiritual master, his life is successful. It is not that only sannyasis, vanaprasthas, and brahmacharis can reach Krishna. A grihastha, a householder, can also reach Krishna provided he becomes a pure devotee without material desires. Example of this is cited in the next verse. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, what does this verse say? Ultimately, it says that to achieve the goal of life, one doesn't have to change their position. One doesn't have to change from grihastha to sannyas or from brahmachari to grihastha. In other words, whatever one's position is, one can execute or one can reach the goal of life, provided, and this is mentioned in this verse, provided one follows the proper path. And here it is mentioned that it's giving emphasis upon grihasthas. There are two kinds of people who are family people. There is called grihastha and griha medhi. Griha medhi means selfish or absorbed in I and mine. What does that mean? This is my wife, this is my home, this is my money, this is my car, these are my children, this is my country. Janasa moham yam aham mameti. The word moha is mentioned in this verse because mohan means illusion. This idea of mine is not a reality. Nothing belongs to any of us. And Prabhupada was speaking, I was listening the other day, you come into this world with nothing and you claim so many things as yours. Right? And then, based on this claim, somebody else has the same idea So there's conflict. And everyone is in conflict with others over things that they have been given or have come upon simply by taking birth. And this is the this is called what we say, hard struggle for existence, absorbed in the illusion of thinking that something belongs to me. And Prabhupada finishes by saying, when you leave with nothing. So you come in and you claim so many things. What is that claim? Based on the body. And what is the body? Simply something that is a product of the material energy that's been given to us because of our desire to enjoy material life. So the whole basic principle of material life, basic misconception of material life, starts with the idea that I am this body. And therefore, anything in relationship to this body is mine. Or what we say, I. I am, put another word after it, a man, a woman, a student, young, old, rich. These are all designations, bodies, that we have somehow or other accumulated due to our desire to find what we say happiness in this world. Now, there's two principles. It's called the enjoyer and the controller. So how many of you here, I'll ask you a question, how many of you ever here ever felt that you were the enjoyer and the controller? Good. You're normal for being in the material world. The idea is that is what everyone's consciousness is, that in order to enjoy, what do we have to do? We have to control. Because if we don't control, how can we enjoy? Right? If you just let things happen, then where's the question of, you know, bringing enjoyment to you? So you have to control. And therefore you control your family, you control your money, you control your property, you control your life in such a way as that you plan to become the enjoyer in so many different ways. And the basic principle of that is family life, because it's the foundation where the expansion of the IMI principle is unlimited. When you don't have a family, your enjoyer and controller situation is limited. You still have that consciousness, even in the brahmachari. Prabhupada says, even in a sannyas ashram, sometimes the sannyasis think that this is my room, and this are my possessions, and this is my danda, and this is my mahaprasad. And the brahmachari might think, this is my space, although it's only 6 feet, it's still mine. So it's another form of the same idea, but it's in a more limited way. But once you get in grihastha life, you're all over the universe. And then you're going to just expand and expand and expand. And Prabhupada says that the happiness in Grihamedi life is to be able to see your children's, your grandchildren's grandchildren. He said in Bengal, that's the goal of the materialistic people, to see their grandchildren's grandchildren, and then life is successful. My grandchildren have grandchildren, and I can be around to see it. Boy, I have made success in life, right? So this is what everybody puts their emphasis on, expanding their little empires and family and then having so many, you know, possessions and ideas. And it's like your little kingdom. But then the real king comes along and says, hey, gotta go, man. You're out of here. Your kingdom's over. You've just been dethroned. And that's called death. So this all, in the middle, this is called Grihamedi life. But there's another type of what we say householder that is actually what we say a way to reach the goal of life, even though one is surrounded, or you may say, or what we say fortified by materialistic things. And that is here mentioned that there is Grihastha. Grihastha means one who lives within the family, but the head of the family is Krishna. Krishna becomes the center of the family. And everything that person does or even thinks is in relationship to religious principles. They don't follow religious principles simply to make a nice family life. That's not the goal. Because there's another kind of family person who likes to follow God in order to have a nice family life. And that's another form of Maya, using God to make your life nice. But the idea is that God becomes the center of life where we can worship God and achieve the goal of life, and that is Taktua Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna, that we want to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the goal of life. So in that type of family life, one acts according to religious principles. And one performs their activities in a very, what we say, detached way. The more you have material things, and the more you use material things, the more it's hard to become detached from these things. But therefore, cultivation of transcendental knowledge helps one to understand that whatever I have is simply given to me by the mercy of the Lord. And to use it in the service of the Lord is the success of that object, whatever it is. Whether it's my children, my money, anything. Because everything ultimately belongs to Krishna. Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is not too much words spoken by Krishna. It's mostly spoken about Krishna. But in the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto, Krishna says, before the creation, I existed. During the manifestation, I exist, and after everything is annihilated, I remain. So ultimately, everything is God. Either God or God's energy. We are also within that category of energy of God. We are His jiva. So ultimately, to use material life to further material life means to become more and more entangled in a hard struggle for existence. And ultimately, to suffer. Even if you're materially successful, still, the more you're materially successful, the more painful it is when you lose it. If you don't have much, if you have $100 and you lose it, it's not so bad. But if you have $1,000,000 and you lose it, that's a big problem. So the more you have materially, then it's more a crush on your life when you lose it. And definitely, you will lose it, because that's the nature of everything in this world. It's temporary. So the idea is not to have too much or too little. That's not so much the point. The point is, whatever you have, use it in the service of the Lord. That's all. And using it in the service of the Lord means first seeing it as belonging to the Lord. In the Christian scriptures, they say, the Baptists say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. Right? Tate du kampa shushimikshimana bhujan eva kripa vikpakam ridha vahabir vidadana maste jiveti yo mukti padesha dayabak. Oh, very important verse from the 10th canto. Spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Lord Krishna. He says that ultimately, that even in my life, if I'm struggling and I'm suffering, this is your mercy. This is your mercy. And because of this, if I accept this as your mercy, then ultimately I'll get your supreme mercy, and that is your association back home, back to Godhead. So whatever Krishna does is good. So therefore, we're not worried about what I have or what I don't have. We're worried about what I can do with what I have now. That's all. Let me use it in Krishna's service. And that's the perfection of life. Here. So even a grihastha who has family and children and possessions and occupation. Here it's saying one can also reach the same destination as those who maybe have, who are in the renounced order. Because the cultivation of renunciation is based on the idea that ultimately I am simply Krishna's servant. That's all. That's real renunciation. Even if you are in the renounced order and you think, I'm the enjoyer, you're not in the renounced order. You're in the renounced, you have renounced Krishna consciousness. Or you have renounced reality. So ultimately here the principle is that Grihe taka, bane taka, sabda hari boli daka. It doesn't matter what ashram you're in. You can achieve the perfection of life simply by executing your duties with detachment. But it's very difficult because we do get attached to material things. But material things cannot give us happiness. Material things are opportunities to use in Krishna consciousness. We have the example of Pundarik Vidyaniti in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was King Vrishabhanu come again in that Leela. And he was still in the mood of a king. And Lord Chaitanya's Leelas were very renounced. All of Lord Chaitanya's devotees were supremely renounced. Even his grihasthas were very simply living. But Pundarik Vidyaniti was different. He had so much. And he was dressed so nicely with beautiful, let me say, clothes. And he would wear nice perfumes in his hair. And he had it surrounded by it. He had a beautiful palace-like abode. But the thing was, he was Krishna conscious. When Gadadhar Pandit came to see Pundarik Vidyaniti on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda went with him. And Mukunda understood the glories of Pundarik Vidyaniti, but Gadadhar Pandit didn't. When he saw this person, he said, who is this? This is a great soul. Lord Chaitanya has asked me to meet this great personality, but he looks like an ordinary materialist. He's got all these... He's just like... And he, Pundarik Vidyaniti used to take a mirror and look at himself and smile. And he would chew betel nut. And so when he smiled, it was red. And he would... And Gadadhar, not Gadadhar, is like as simple as you could possibly get. That's Radharani come again. Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani with an element of Lalita Sakhi in there. That is Gadadhar Pandit. And he's so simple. He's as simple as you could get. His simplicity is so difficult to understand that he wouldn't even say a word to cause anybody any difficulty, even if it wasn't to give them an instruction. He was so humble. He was humble. That was Gadadhar Pandit. But when he saw Pundarik Vidyaniti, he's thinking, what is this? This is a great personality. Mukunda understood his mind. And Mukunda started to chant one verse spoken by Maitreya Muni to Vidura. Aho bhakiyam stanakala kuktam. Glorifying Lord Krishna's mercy upon Putana witch and how Putana came to kill him. And she offered her breast milk that was smeared with poison, gave it to the little baby, and Krishna was less than 1 year old. And Krishna didn't see that this horrible witch was coming. He saw it. This is my mother. She's acting as my mother. But he killed her just to destroy her Putana mentality. But he gave her liberation, almost on the same level as Mother Yasoda. And when Mukunda chanted this verse and Pundarik Vidyaniti heard what was the mercy of Lord Krishna, he just went into ecstasy. So much ecstasy, he just started to throw all the stuff in his room around. He went mad. He was throwing his mirrors and his clothes and he was ripping them off. Pots and things were going flying this way. And he went into a mad sense of ecstasy. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. So his ecstasy was just simply another form of madness. Now Gadadhar Pandit watched this, and for 6 hours Pundarik Vidyaniti was in this ecstasy. Finally he came out of it. And then Gadadhar Pandit realized, oh, I made a mistake. I simply judged him by what I saw externally. And he felt bad. So he told Mukunda, I think I'd like to take initiation from this person. And he did. And when Pundarik Vidyaniti heard that Gadadhar Pandit, the great Gadadhar Pandit, wants to become my disciple, he said, how fortunate it is to have a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. And they were completely opposite in their moods. I mean, so here's an example in Lord Chaitanya's Leela of a person who had so much material, but what was his inner consciousness? That's the thing. What is our consciousness? It's not so much about what we have or what we don't have. What is our consciousness? And this is, life is about consciousness. It's Krishna consciousness. So our hard struggles to accumulate more things in this world simply take our consciousness away from Krishna. Therefore, a devotee just thinks, whatever situation I have, that's perfect. Let me just become Krishna conscious. I don't have to change my situation. I simply have to change my consciousness or purify my consciousness and see everything in relationship to Krishna. Prabhupada would say sometimes, when I came to your country, I had 40 rupees. Now I have 40 crores. Krishna has given me so much. But I am using it in his service. Prabhupada never changed his lifestyle, although he was surrounded by so much wealth and what we say, opportunities for material enjoyment. He remained the same, simple, humble, what we say, acharya, whose only goal was to take whatever he was given and use it in Krishna's service. And that is Krishna consciousness. Manasa deho deho gyoho yogichumar arpitu tune nanda kishore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur praised. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was wealthy. He was a magistrate respected by the British. He had his own train car that would go along with the other train to work. They gave him his own car where he could have his own peace and quiet when he wouldn't go back and forth. You see that little railroad track in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, those of you who've been to Godrum Dripa? And that train used to pass right by his house and he would get on it. And he would go to work. And what was the size of his family? He had a big family. People say 13 children. But he had at least 10 children. And he had a wife. And he had so many things, responsibilities. But he was detached from all that. He wrote over 100 books and periodicals. He preached heavily. He brought Lord Chaitanya's mission back after had been lost after so many hundreds of years. So it's not your ashram that is what we say the advantage or the disadvantage. It's your consciousness. You can be in the renounced ashram. You can be wearing saffron and you can have the mentality of a Grihamedi. If you're thinking that now I can enjoy in a renounced way. How to enjoy in a renounced way is that we try to, well, I don't have to have so many responsibilities now, and now I can just enjoy my senses in this way and in that way. It's easier. Because when you have a lot of things, then you have too many opportunities for enjoying your senses, and then you get confused. So become simple and enjoy your senses in a few ways. That's another form of cheating. So the idea is not so much the ashram, it's the consciousness. And here, and Prabhupada is glorifying the grihasthas. That the grihasthas can also reach... And Prabhupada says something really amazing. He said the ultimate goal of life is Krishna. Therefore, either by Vedic regulative principles or by materialistic activities, if one tries to reach the destined Krishna, that is the perfection of life. That means one's work and one's family responsibilities can be used and should be and must be used as a means for serving Krishna. We make the division, there's the temple and then there's my life. Like that. But that division keeps us divided from Krishna. Ultimately, everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we understand that, there's no problem. There's no problem. Life is simple, but we complicate it by starting to think, how can I enjoy? Forget it. You can't. How can I serve? That's the beginning of Krishna. How can I serve? A devotee finds happiness in service. A real devotee is only thinking, what else can I do? How can I serve? How can I use my time in the best possible way to purify my consciousness by serving the Lord in different ways? Whether it's in one ashram or another. That's all. A devotee is only interested in service. He's only interested in pleasing Krishna by his service. That's all. And that's Krishna consciousness. And when Krishna is pleased, then that's perfection. And the door to spiritual life is wide open. Shrama evihi kevalam. If Krishna is not pleased, you can have so much money, you can have so much wealth, you can have so many possessions, you can have everything. You can even do your pujas and your rituals and everything else. And Krishna says, he's not interested in me. He's interested in getting some prestige for what he does. That's all. Right? We find that people sometimes, they make a show of religion just to impress others or to impress themselves and make themselves think that actually they are very religious. But Krishna's not interested in that. He turns the channel. You're not on the page anymore. So, therefore, it's not hard to please Krishna by humble devotional service in whatever situation you're in. And Lord Chaitanya proved that. He had devotees who were like Kolavetsa Sridhar. He had nothing, zero. But still, he pleased the Lord by his humble submission and desire to serve Lord Chaitanya in a very simple way by providing some cups and banana leaves and plates so Lord Chaitanya's devotees could have prasadam. That's all. And Pundarigridiniti was like a magistrate. He was in a kingly mood. And still he pleased Lord Chaitanya. So it's not what you have, it's what is how you use whatever you have in Krishna's service. That's all. And actually, in one sense, we can also say, if you have too much, that's a problem. And if you have too little, that's a problem. But don't worry about it. Even if you have too much, use it. And if you have too little, somehow, just use that. So, whether it's intelligence, or time, or bodily strength, whatever it is, belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So this is a wonderful verse. It says that in Sukadeva Goswami is talking to King Yudhisthira. King Yudhisthira is the king of the world. But he's a devotee. He's detached, right? When he followed the instructions of Lord Krishna in everything he did. And therefore, he was the perfect king. Okay, any questions?